540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. It's the morning after Hurricane Idalia in Florida, and Governor Ron DeSantis says
there has been significant damage, particularly along Florida's Big Bend. But the community is resilient, and we are going to work hard to make sure people get what they need.
Storm surge caused major coastal damage. Strong winds knocked out power. It's blamed for at least three deaths. Gulf Coast restaurant manager Anna King says there's a lot to deal with.
The business owners didn't just lose their businesses. They lost their homes, too. We're finding places for them to stay so they can stay here on site and keep working.
I'm Jim Krasula, North Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. There has been major tidal flooding in downtown Charleston, and numerous flood warnings are posted in North Carolina east of I-95. There has been property damage from suspected tornadoes in several areas. There are widespread power outages. No deaths or serious injuries have been reported from the storm in the Carolinas.
In a filing just made public, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas acknowledges he took three trips last year on a private plane owned by a Republican mega donor. Reports indicate he's received major gifts for years. Now to South Africa. A crowd in Johannesburg could only watch as crews fought a fire in an old building. The blaze killed more than 70 people. Many homeless people were in the place. North Korea says its latest missile tests were designed to send a strong message, as we hear from CBS's Cammie McCormick.
Pyongyang says its launches were a simulation of scorched earth nuclear strikes on South Korea. And a drill was also staged to rehearse occupying South Korean territory. North Korea has been increasing its protests over U.S.-South Korean military drills. The Kremlin, meanwhile, said today that Russia intends to develop ties with the North. It did not confirm a White House belief that Vladimir Putin exchanged letters with Kim Jong-un.
The government says consumer prices rose just a fraction from June to July. Compared to a year ago, they were up more than 3%. Heading into Labor Day weekend, AAA says a gallon of regular gas costs $3.83 nationally, a penny less than a year ago. CBS's Haley Ott.
Fuel analyst Patrick DeHaan says with summer coming to a close, prices should start dropping after Labor Day, barring any surprises.
I do think that the trend will remain downwards for the potential of the next few weeks, especially as we get into mid and late September. That's when a combination of the transition back to cheaper winter gasoline and falling gasoline demand should pave the way for lower prices.
Right now on Wall Street, the Dow is up 83 points. This is CBS News.
When you think of hiring, think of Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. PFAS chemicals have been discovered in two out of Pewaukee's 12 drinking water wells. While city officials assure residents that the water is currently safe, the contamination presents costly long-term solutions. The DNR mandated PFAS testing, and while some areas exceeded recommended standards, Pewaukee is taking steps to investigate filtration methods. The 11-year-old involved in a Milwaukee hit and run last weekend has died. According to the boy's family, he succumbed to his injuries yesterday. Eyewitnesses reported that the boy was riding his bike when he was struck by a driver who was recklessly speeding down Fond du Lac Avenue. Milwaukee police have confirmed that a 30-year-old man turned himself in regarding the case. It remains uncertain when formal charges will be filed and what specific charges will be brought. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
It's back to school time, but before we ring the bell for class, how about this subject? The first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created America's first kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown, about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM radio for every vehicle act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website, civicmedia.us.
Who's the most fun to drink with of the Republican lawmakers? Todd also confirmed that Robin Voss has virtually no sense of humor.
You can always let us know if you are drinking with lawmakers at 844-967-2789.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. We've got a fully packed hour. But if you missed anything in the first hour, go back and listen to it as a podcast, which you can find at asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or on Spotify, on Apple, wherever you find your podcasts. But now we are happy to welcome back, after she was not here last week because she had to be a doctor and it was in surgery. But Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here for our weekly segment, Public Service Announcement, where we mostly talk about women's health issues, but we're also here, well, she's here, to answer any of your health questions as best as she can. So how are you, friend?
I am great. And please do call with questions because we love to be interactive and make sure that you have the information that you need to be able to make your decisions in the context of your own life.
Yeah,
so we
absolutely
love callers.
All right. So just start off with some quick headlines. The first one with Narcan.
Yeah, just like super quick headlines. Narcan is going to be over the counter as early as next week. It's going to be expensive, but it'll be available, shipping out now. So that's exciting. But my favorite quick headline is that female surgeons have better outcomes than male surgeons. Sorry, guys.
How did they measure this?
They looked at a number of key markers, including morbidity and death, and they determined that female surgeons have better outcomes.
And so, and is that because I think I've seen before that they've done the differences of female and male doctors when treating female patients. But for this study, is this a, no matter the gender of or the sex of the patient, that they're just in general female surgeons better outcome?
Yes, and this is consistent with what we see in the medical world as well. We know that people who are treated by female medical physicians tend to have better outcomes. Now, we're not talking monumentally better outcomes. Like, you know, men are good doctors and surgeons. Like, I am not male bashing here at all, but I just have to gloat a little bit. When I saw this headline, I was like, we at least have to say this.
Well, and do they point to why that might be?
They speculate that it could have something to do with women taking a little bit more time, being a little bit more precise. I mean, it's all speculation. Who really knows?
Yeah. Because how much bedside manner were you taught in med school?
You can't learn bedside manner.
But that's, you know what I mean? Like that, like, I think that's something that we're now realizing that, like, is not taught. Like, it's not like a class of, like, how to be a compassionate doctor, right?
Well, They do try to teach it, but some people just have it and other people just don't. And, you know, that's one of the really challenging things when you are looking for a doctor and you Google somebody and you see all of those rating websites.
Yeah.
So you see docs with like 4 and 5 star ratings because they're nice or because, you know, you went to the office and you had a good experience with the office staff. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they're great surgeons or great doctors. If you want to know if they are technically great at what they do, ask a nurse.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. But you don't always have access to a nurse either.
No.
But that's a good point. As we just got through Mike's back surgery, who I think both of his vascular surgeon and the orthopedic surgeon did come highly recommended by people who had had surgeries from them. But sometimes when you're first picking a doctor, that gets really daunting as far as like, how do you pick someone besides like, are they or are they not in my network? But beyond that, and you look at like a list of names, you're like, I don't know any of these people from Adam. And so how do I, besides those reviews, how do you pick someone and get in and you just kind of just like close your eyes and throw a dart?
Yeah. I mean, so often it's because what you just said, it's because you're referred by a friend who had an experience with somebody, but you don't really know. And this gets really tricky with OB because sometimes you pick a midwife and you think, well, a midwife is a midwife, but a midwife is not a midwife. Some midwives
or a midwife is not an OB.
It is not an OB, but even midwives, all midwives are not the same.
Oh, okay.
Some midwives receive, certified nurse midwives receive a certain degree of training and they are plugged in with a professional organization and there are really tedious standards that they have to obey. And then other midwives are lay midwives. Like they may not really have any training other than experience or some online school that they took. And their credentials aren't necessarily helpful to you as you're trying to figure out who is the best person to care for me and my baby.
Yeah. All right. Well, moving on to the next headline. You had put this in for last week, but we couldn't get to it. But basically, you're saying I should be walking.
Shouldn't we all?
Shouldn't we all be walking? But but there was a study that said walkable neighborhoods encourage pregnant women to get more exercise, which leads to good outcomes for both mom and baby. So how much should I be walking in this last month of pregnancy?
Pregnancy is a little bit different. And you can generalize this information to all of us.
Okay.
If we live in neighborhoods where we can get out and walk and ride, we're going to do that more often. If you can just walk a block to the grocery store, you're not going to jump in your car and drive a block to the grocery store. So people who live in these walkable neighborhoods, we know the data shows that they do tend to get enough exercise, at least more exercise than people who don't live in walkable and bikeable neighborhoods. For pregnant women, it's a little bit different because, you know, you're different when you're pregnant. You have to take into account how healthy you are. Are you having any complications with the pregnancy? How are your feet and your legs? And, you know, like, how does that all come together for you? So it is a little bit different when you're pregnant. But you can take all of this information and you can put it in the context of public health, where what we really need to be doing, and the University of Wisconsin has done a great deal of research in this area, is creating walkable neighborhoods where we have grocery stores and restaurants and the things that you need just to live your day-to-day life within a close distance to your house. We see, especially in, you know, bigger cities like Milwaukee, there are certain neighborhoods where they have food deserts. It's almost impossible for them to get access to fresh produce. They can't walk to where they need to go, and we see worse health outcomes there. So the way that we design cities and policies like Complete Streets, which used to be a statewide policy and now it's more within the different municipalities, thankfully, if we can implement some of these policies, we will, in general, be healthier.
What, just quickly, because then we have a question from a caller. What is Complete Streets for people who don't know?
Oh, Complete Streets is a policy that is supported by the CDC and the Institute of Medicine and lots of other major organizations that seeks to encourage bike traffic and walking traffic by making safe spaces. Mm-hmm. So you may have noticed bike lanes or bike paths that are next to busy streets. That is intentional to give people a safe place to be able to walk or ride or get out with strollers or, you know, just congregate. And it's not just your physical body, but it's also your heart, your emotional well-being. If you're out walking to a restaurant and you bump into your neighbor, you're going to have a conversation, and that's going to create that sense of community. So the more we can do that, even in Wisconsin, even in the winter, people still do get out, the healthier we all will be.
Awesome. All right. Who we got on the phone, Greg?
We got Tom calling from Grafton, has a question about the new COVID medication. Tom, what say you?
Morning, ladies. I'm wondering, should I wait a few months? I'd heard that the shot will be coming out in September or October, so I'm wondering if I should wait a few months or if I should get it right away, and I'm wondering if people get ill. But I have a comment, too. You mentioned that women doctors have slightly better outcomes. I'm an aviation buff, and in World War II, the United States found that they would ferry all kinds of airplanes, bombers, fighters, from the U.S. over to Europe, and they found that the women pilots had a lower crash rate. And to me, it just shows, you know, unless you're talking strictly strength, that women can do almost anything, you know, that men can do, you know, if they put their mind to it. And, you know, that's not to say that people don't have the strengths and weaknesses, but I thought that was really interesting.
That is super interesting, Tom.
I love that you said that, Tom.
So the question, if I'm asking, if I'm hearing you right, is should you get, how soon should you get the next COVID shot?
Yeah, right.
Gotcha.
Yes. So the new COVID shot is coming out mid-September. This is the one that should cover the current variant that, I don't know if you've been hearing in the news, but COVID is making a comeback again. Mm-hmm. We're going to see these surges and falls. So we're in the midst of a surge now. It's Omicron, so it's not nearly as scary as it was at the beginning of the pandemic, but it's still, you know, a significant risk for people who are immunocompromised, who are older. So definitely do get your COVID vaccine, but don't get it until mid-September or even October for two reasons. One, it will be the most recent variant. And two, it doesn't last forever. Just like a flu shot, it peaks after a couple of months and then it starts to wane. Its effectiveness starts to wane. So if you get it too early, you may peak before flu season and COVID season are in full burst. We know that once we start going back inside, we can anticipate that there will be a surge, especially in northern areas. So waiting until late September or October, I think, is your best bet.
There you go. Thanks for the call, Tom. That is actually a good segue for what we're going to talk about when we come back, because I want to get your thoughts. There was a New York Times article this morning that kind of is talking about, like you said, there is a rise in COVID again. And I think there's just like this mentality that I've had it once, I survived, it's fine. And so I think looking into like how fine is it to get COVID multiple times? How much are you susceptible for like long-term, long COVID type symptoms if you get it multiple times? So I wanted to get your opinion on that when we come back. But I also, from your medical point of view, want to get your opinion, and this is taking politics out of it, what is going on with Mitch McConnell? Think about that. Because I just want, like, when you see someone, like, glitch out like that, what could be going on? So no stigma attached. I just want to know, from a doctor's point of view, what is happening? So we will be back with Dr. Kristen Lyerly after the break. Text us any more questions that you have, 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Experience the magic. Joy Engine presents Nightlight, Friday and Saturday, September 8th and 9th, from 5 until 10:30 p.m., the dazzling live spectacle brings 4D projection mapping technology to Milwaukee's iconic historic Mitchell neighborhood. A multi-story building at 710 West Historic Mitchell Street will serve as the mesmerizing backdrop for the show. Nightlight will feature a fashion show, a variety of local vendors, dance performances, and music. After sundown, the event will set the grounds alight with an amazing motion graphic show. Families with children will have plenty of options to indulge in memory-making activities throughout the festival's run, including a life-size light bright wall and a hands-on multilingual exhibit presented by PNC Bank. The event is family-friendly and free to the public. Don't miss this iconic event, Nightlight, presented by Joy Engine, where art comes to life. Log on joyengine.org. That's joyengine.org.
Uh-oh, did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry, Auto Glass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Auto Glass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Auto Glass Now today for full details.
You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Bright sunshine expected this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 75. Southeast winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Clear skies and quiet again tonight. Lows dip down to about 51. Highs around 81 tomorrow. Bright sunshine. Temperatures a bit above average Saturday and Sunday with highs from the upper 80s to the mid 90s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 66 degrees.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry, along with Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and this is Public Service Announcement, our weekly Thursday segment where we answer your questions, talk about women's health. We've talked a lot about my pregnancy, which we are a month out from. But one of the things I wanted to get your opinion on was, because as COVID is rising, and actually I was at a Journal Sentinel event last night. Last week, I ended up not going into the office at all because there was people that a lot of people had COVID. And so they're like, everyone will stay home this week. And so I've had it twice. Both times it was just like felt like I was really sick, but I got over it. So what, like, how bad is a second or third or fourth case of COVID? And how much should you take for granted? Like, if you've had it once, well, it's just like a cold. And so if I get it again, no big deal. Like, is that a good attitude to have? Or what do you think?
We don't know.
Okay.
So the data is not helpful here because everybody is different. What kind of COVID did you have? When did you get it? What is your immune system like? All of these questions are going to help determine whether you're going to get really sick if you get it again, or if you're not even going to know that you have it and you're just a carrier. So ultimately, I would say, don't put yourself in harm's way. Continue as you know that the cases are starting to rise again. Don't take chances. And I don't mean you have to go out in public with a mask on, but you know, when you're in public, be outside if you have that choice. If you feel sick, take a COVID test because there is a really great medication to treat COVID. So if you have it, you want to know that you have it so that you can treat it. And remember that there are people who still can get very sick from COVID, immunocompromised and older people. So please just, you know, have some grace and show them respect. If you see them in public with a mask on, they likely have complicating factors.
Yeah. And also, like, it's not fun being sick, period. Like, whether it's a cold, whether it's a flu, whether it's COVID, like, just being reckless just because you're like, well, I've had it, It's like, well, like, do you really want to be sick? Do you really want to like be out for the count for 4 days or more when you could be working or living your life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And having to not be able to be with your friends and doing the things that you want to be doing. So, you know, just be smart, be nice, take care of each other.
It's a good motto. All right. Well, we have two texts, but before we get to the text, just because I'm so curious, usually we would talk about this in like a political sense of like, oh, term limits, age limits. But just from a medical standpoint, we saw the video yesterday of Mitch McConnell once again at a Kentucky Chamber of Commerce meeting be asked a question and just went blank again for the second time in a month, basically. So what could be happening where like that when you are in front of a group and you just go blank like that, what could be happening in your brain or in your health that leads you to think of maybe what he's dealing with?
Well, remember back in March when he had a fall and he got a concussion and he broke a rib, I think. So he really hasn't been himself since that happened. And if you go way back when he was young, he had polio. Remember back in the day, polio was a really big deal. It's a vaccine that we were able to eradicate in this country way back in 1979 because of vaccines. So that still, though, many people experience post-polio symptoms. And as you get older, they're more likely to manifest themselves like so many other things. So we don't know what's happening.
Of course, this is all speculation. But I was just because everyone's going to talk about it politically. And I was just interested as far as like seeing that what you as a your doctor brain goes, what could this be?
It doesn't seem like it's a stroke. Okay. It could be little TIAs. It could be a neurological problem like a Parkinson's disease that's not appropriately managed. It could be a million different things. And I think the thing for most of our listeners to consider is if this is happening to you, please seek medical help. We hope that Senator McConnell is seeking medical help, and I'm sure he is. You know, this is really scary, and I'm so glad that you took politics out of it because it has nothing to do with that. He's a human being in the world who is an important leader in this country, and we wish him the best.
Absolutely. Greg, do we have time for a couple text questions?
Yeah, we can do a couple. Let's start with just, we were talking about COVID before. Is it, from the 310, is there any correlation between COVID and hair loss? My hairdresser My hairdresser feels she is seeing that. A family member had COVID about 2 months ago and is losing her hair now. Could there be connection?
There could be, but hair loss can be due to so many different things. It can be thyroid dysfunction. It can be related to menopause. It can be related to lots of just personal, you know, issues that you can have. So, but it could be COVID. I would say go talk to a dermatologist or maybe even start with your general practitioner and just get some basic labs run. And then next step would be derm if you don't get an answer right off the bat.
Okay, and then next one. I am 50 going through menopause for the last 5 years or so. I have breast pains and can be as bad as when I breastfed. Anything I can do?
Yeah, menopause is tough. You know, the menopause transition is really about 10 years. So if you're 50, you are likely smack dab in the middle of it. With regards to breast pain, it's probably related to varying levels of progesterone that you're producing right now. What can you do? Again, talk to your doctor. It may be time for hormone supplements, like a progesterone supplement, an estrogen supplement to help ease you through the transition. There are lots of different things that you can do. One other thing, wear a supportive garment, a supportive bra that may help as well.
Interesting. We had one more question, but we don't have time because we have less than a minute left. So from the 608, questions also with perimenopause and hormone imbalances. So I will save that, and we'll do it next week. Dr. Kristen Lierley, this always goes so fast, but it's so much fun to have you here. Can't wait to see you again next week, and have fun at the Minnesota Gophers game.
Yeah, Sky, you mom. I go for friends.
Go Panthers. I don't know.
Nebraska.
Speaking of sports, when we come back, Paul Noonan will be here to talk about why he is recklessly optimistic about the Packers. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief, assessing destruction from Hurricane Idalia. It's extensive in Florida's Big Bend region. FEMA Administrator Deanne Criswell.
There has been significant
damage.
We are
going to see what this damage is. We are going to process the governor's request for a major disaster declaration as quickly as possible.
In a new filing, former President Trump has entered a not guilty plea in the Georgia election case, waiving an in-person arraignment. Gil Brandt, the football executive who built the Dallas Cowboys into a powerhouse, has died at 91. In his Hall of Fame speech, he gave a nod to Jerry Jones, the owner.
When we parted ways following the 1989 draft, I could not have imagined how incredible the next three decades in the NFL would become.
And Bankrate's Mark Hamrick tells us today.
New unemployment claims are on the decline as of the latest check. The Labor Department says initial claims for unemployment assistance dropped by 4,000 last week to 228,000, the lowest number this month.
CBS News Brief, I'm Steve Kathan.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A murder-suicide in Brookfield yesterday is still being investigated. Authorities discovered one person dead with gunshot wounds at a residence on the south side of Brookfield at around 2:40 yesterday afternoon. The victim's identity has not been released. The suspected shooter, a 35-year-old man from Menominee Falls, was found by New Berlin police about 3 hours later, and he had taken his own life. The Pfister is one of the top 10 historic hotels in the United States.
That marks its first inclusion on the esteemed USA Today list. As they secure the sixth position, the Pfister this year is also commemorating its 130th anniversary. As one of downtown Milwaukee's oldest establishments, the hotel, founded by Guido Pfister in 1893, boasts the world's largest collection of Victorian art. Pete Schwabe, Civic Media News.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
There's a net or a hoop or a hole in the ground. I hope they get it in. If they want to go to all the bases, I hope they do. If they're supposed to run past a line or whatever, I hope they do that too. Sports go sports. They tap their opponents numerically in the allotted time. Lest they disenfranchise their audience and see their revenues decline. May the partakers, be sturdy and rapid in the spirited energies they exert.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board, and we are welcoming back Paul Noonan, who covers the Packers for Shepherd Express and Acme Packing Company. He also hosts weekly podcasts, reporting as eligible on the Packers and Milwaukee's Tailgate Podcast on the Brewers. Happy to have you back, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back.
So let's start with the Brewers. The winning streak is over, but boy, that was that a winning streak.
It was a great winning streak. It's too bad that we didn't get free cheeseburgers, but, you know, that only happens like once a decade, so it is what it is. Ran into some bad luck against the Cubs with the wind blowing in at Wrigley, which is not good for the Brewers, who have trouble scoring runs anyway. And but, you know, it's a great win streak. They built a nice lead. They can afford to have a couple stumbles, and they're really in good shape going forward in terms of making the postseason.
So, yeah, so what is the kind of the landscape now for this final month? Because really, it's just September, and then what's the regular season look like?
A couple weeks. It ends on October 1st. So it's just the month of September. That's it. And they do have a couple of long road trips left, but they're not terribly intimidating ones. They looked bad at the start of the season, but they go to Pittsburgh after they play the Phillies at home next, which the Phillies are a good team, and the Brewers aren't going to have their big guns pitching against them because Burns and Woodruff just faced the Cubs and lost, you know, nail biters. So that's a bit of a tough one. If they take it on the chin a little bit to start this, I wouldn't be that surprised. But the Pirates and the Yankees, both of whom have struggled horribly this season. It's really odd to see the Yankees struggle ever, but that's like a kind of an easy series for like the first time ever.
Wow.
Then they fit when the league makes the schedule, they always figure that the Brewers, Cubs, and Cardinals are going to be good, so they kind of stack them up at the end. And so the Brewers still have a whole bunch of games against the Cardinals. They go to St. Louis for four, and then they have three games like immediately after that. But the Cardinals are terrible now for the first time ever, so it's never fun to see them because they are annoying and they are spoilers.
Yep.
But those are games where the Brewers should take care of business.
Most importantly,
they finish against the Cubs, three games at Miller Park, and the Cubs and Brewers are now tied 5-5 on the season series. So that is both a game to both a series to get the tiebreaker and also to potentially just win the division. But it's not a hard schedule. The Brewers should be able to take care of this if they just play how like they played the last month.
And what changed? Like what was the magic sauce or the stadium sauce, I should say, that kind of led off this winning streak?
A couple things all kind of came together. So their trade deadline was not super exciting, but it made their lineup quite a bit more difficult to get through. So they added Carlos Santana and Mark Canha. Those guys are kind of average major league players, but the Brewers had a very top heavy lineup with like basically two good hitters in Christian Yelich and William Contreras. And after that, pitchers could kind of just mow them down, even if they got into some trouble. Now that's not the case anymore, especially with Sal Frehla coming up and being a worthwhile bat as well. And now they go five or six deep in their lineup. It's much harder to navigate for opposing pitchers, and adding an extra runner to a game to this Brewers pitching staff is really useful because they're the best in the league at shutting people down if they get a lead. They got Brendan Woodruff back at the same time. Their pitching staff improved that way. And the other kind of secret one is Freddy Peralta has been absolutely dynamite in the second half. He is, despite pitching one fewer game than any other starting pitcher on this list, he is fifth in the league in strikeouts. He had 177 going into his last start. And it's been unhittable, Freddy. When you get him, plus Woodruff and Burns at the top, it's hard to beat that.
All right. Greg, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling really good, and that doesn't feel good. As a Brewers fan, I'm used to like it just being a spiral or getting way too excited for a wild card. Or the question I have is, I mean, and everyone has this question is, what do we need to start doing now to prepare ourselves for an inevitable face-off against Atlanta or Los Angeles? I mean, they are amazing.
They're buzz saws.
Yeah.
And you're right. Those two teams are quite a bit better than everybody else in the National League by any metric that you want to run through. Run differential, just your talent. What you want to do if you're the Brewers is not mess around with the Cubs in that last series. You want to have a lead and set up your rotation, because the key to the Brewers winning in the playoffs is having Burns, Woodruff, and Peralta ready to go and not having to waste them at winning the division or making the playoffs.
Yeah.
If they can do that, they can hang with the Braves and the Dodgers, because those guys can shut down any lineup, and then you just need to squeak out a few runs against them. But if you get into the back end and you're forced to pitch Miley or somebody else, you're going to get yourself down and get yourself in trouble. So it's important that they finish strong so that they can set themselves up in the best way possible.
And stay healthy.
Stay.
Don't punch any walls. Don't punch any walls.
Devin.
All right. Well, speaking of being optimistic, I saw you tweet out I don't know if it's your most recent article, but something you wrote this week about the Packers. And you are recklessly optimistic. I don't think of you as a I don't know you super well, but we've been doing this for like a year. You don't come off as someone who is recklessly optimistic. Come off as a very pragmatic person.
Yeah, I think that's generally correct. I'm probably a little more contrarian than anything else.
Okay.
And so since this is viewed as a rebuilding year for the Packers, I probably just kind of lean into that a little bit. But I wrote a few columns before that about how I'm cautiously optimistic in a few ways. And the thing about the NFL is, teams routinely get really good really fast. Rebuilding in the NFL isn't like a gradual stepping stone from like 6 wins to 8 wins to 10 wins. It's just not. And there's a lot working in the Packers' favor this season. If they happen to hit with Love, if he's actually a pretty good quarterback, and I don't even think he needs to be great. I think pretty good's good enough. They can instantly become a Super Bowl contender again. And it doesn't take that much. Their schedule is very easy. The rest of the NFC is very weak. Their division in particular is extremely weak. And quarterback determines so much in the league that if you happen to have one, and nobody knows Jordan Love's going to be good, bad, or anything else at this point, that he's looked good in the preseason. And if he is a top 10 quarterback with their coaching staff, with their defensive personnel, they will instantly be Super Bowl contenders. Like, I think that's basically a fact. And just to put it, like, they're sisters with the 49ers. Like, the 49ers and the Packers run very similar systems. The 49ers, they have some problems, but generally speaking, they get more out of their quarterbacks than anybody else. And if you look at the list of advanced stats, the best quarterbacks every year for the last 3 years, it's always the ones you expect. It's Patrick Mahomes, it's Aaron Rodgers, it's Josh Allen, but then it's always Jimmy Garoppolo for some reason. That reason is the 49ers scheme is just very quarterback friendly. They're very good at allowing quarterbacks to make short throws and having their receivers be the best at running after the catch of any team in the league. They're great at it. The Packers are set up for that now. Christian Watson is very good at that. I think Luke Musgrave will be very good at that. Malik Heath, who shot up out of nowhere, made the 53, and is likely to start week one, is very good at that. And Aaron Jones, the rushing attack, is very good at that. I think that they will be systemically similar to the 49ers. And if they can do that, they will instantly be contenders in the league, like legitimate ones, not just pretenders like the Vikings were last year.
Well, that's encouraging. I moderated an event with Tom Silverstein last night for the Journal Sentinel, and someone asked that. I asked this question because we were specifically talking about Jordan Love, and his best prediction was he thinks he will be inconsistent. Is that he's like, I honestly think he'll have some games where he throws 275 yards and multiple touchdowns, and it's a great game. And then there's going to be games where he throws only interception, not only the interception, but like two interceptions, no touchdowns. And then it will, but he's, what he said, he's like, he's fairly unflappable. And what he also said was just how different the vibe is this year of like, there's not this looming character or this looming lord of Aaron Rodgers that is not only like over the team but over personnel and everything. And so like just the air and the space that has been created for guys to step up and become leaders that just wasn't there these last couple seasons with Aaron right there, that he's encouraged as well.
Yeah, I think that's probably correct, and Tom knows more about football than I ever will. I think Jordan Love may be a little more consistent than that for one particular reason, which is in the preseason, he definitely, so in college, he had accuracy problems, and he's fixed those up a little bit, but they still reared their head a couple times where he didn't hit guys quite in stride. The thing is, he made the right read on almost every single pass he did. We've got a couple guys who do film study at my place, Justin Piscata and Dusty Evely, that charted basically every play, every passing play he had in the preseason, and going through the reads he was likely supposed to. We can never know for sure, but we can make educated guesses. And he basically made the right read every single pass, something that Aaron didn't even do in his last season. So I don't think he's as good or accurate a passer, but if you're running that offense properly and making the right read every time, it's going to work despite some errant throws now and then. So he's a young kid. He's going to have some struggles. Tom's definitely right about that. Defenses vary widely from game to game. But I suspect if nothing else, he'll make the right call basically every time he's out there.
Well, that's encouraging. I'm excited. I can't wait for the season to start.
I'd like to know what numbers are in Vegas right now for a Packers-Jets Super Bowl.
That's going to be a pretty big long shot because all the advanced predictions I've seen on both teams actually have them being about the same, about 9.5 wins for each team.
Okay.
I don't know the over-unders on those. I think the Packers is lower. I'm going to take the over on that. But the Jets play in a much tougher division, so they have a tougher road to hoe, even though I think they're probably a little bit better team. But I'm guessing the odds of that are pretty long. I bet you can make a fair penny if that comes to pass.
And then we had one comment from our friend Joe McClear, who says, with all due respect, Paul, my Lions are going to devour the North in 23. It's going to be a battle for second place, and I wish the Pack the best of luck in that regard. Agree or disagree?
That is a fair statement. The Lions, by all projections I've seen, are Vegas and otherwise, FTNL's projections, they're about 10-win projection. They're definitely the other good team in the North and are projected to win it by most. So that's totally fair.
Holy cow.
And they had a good offseason as well. They did a nice job turning over a lot of players on their defense. They're the class of the division. The Packers, I think, are a little bit more of a long shot, but they're not as much as people think they are. And there's a very good chance that Jordan Love turns out to be better than Jared Goff, who is the Lions starting quarterback, who is a good but not great quarterback. So you got that too. But yeah, they're both better than the Lions and the Bears by a country mile. So, the Vikings and the Bears. The Lions and the Packers are better than the Vikings.
All right. Well, I wanted to, with a couple minutes that we have left, I saw this headline and I wanted to get your opinion on it. But AI sports reporter not ready for prime time. So the Columbus Dispatch, which is owned by Gannett, used AI to report on high school sports, and it didn't go very well. And so when you're thinking about the usefulness of AI or the threat of AI when it comes to your job as a sports writer, what do you think?
It has a long way to go to actually write things in a capacity where people want to read it. And the artistic part of writing, where you actually write things people want to read, is a whole different story. This was supposed to be just a game recap. It was supposed to just tell you what happened, who the stars were, things like that. There's a lot of problems with doing that, especially with the generative AIs that exist, with ChatGPT, with anything similar to that. First of all, that's not going to work because those all have to be trained on data sets that are available. And you can't have breaking news as part of a data set. So right away, that was a poor use case for that. If you're going to use AI at all, you're going to need to do it for some kind of feature writing. And even in that, it's not good because generative AI is not Google, which is not even Google anymore. It doesn't look up facts for you. All it does is tell you what it thinks you want to hear next. And so it's not going to get statistics right. It's not going to get facts right. It will make a suggestion on writing style. It is good at bouncing ideas off to tell you, like, if you ask it, like, hey, what are the 10 best things to do in Wisconsin? It'll give you like a nice 10 list to maybe look into, but that's kind of it. So unless you have a generative AI that has a data set underneath it of all the high school football scores you want it to do and has trained on specifically how to write those game reports, it's not going to work for that. And to make that happen, Gannett would have to actually put money into developing that as a specific thing that it does and do some pretty hardcore programming to do it. So those things can be useful. They can be useful for bouncing ideas off of, for writing formations, for digging into big data sets that you pile them on top of. But if you ask any generative AI to write you a column right now, it's going to be awful.
There you go. So not threatened yet.
Yeah, take that, the robots.
All right, Paul Noonan, as always, so much fun to have you here. We'll have you back in about 2 weeks when the season will be here, and we'll have more to talk about.
It's kicking off. College is this weekend. Pros are next. Should be a good time.
Super fun. It's your prime time, man. All right. Thanks so much, Paul. We'll talk to you soon. And when we come back, Milwaukee Magazine, we got an announcement.
Oh, boy.
This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Athletics are number one. Participants are heroes. Go team, yeah. Sports, go sports. Athletics are number one. Participants are heroes.
Hey, this is Lindsay Kindert at 540 WAUK The Shaw. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me, Lindsay Kindert, at info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car, because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Cockroaches, not that bad. They call them palmetto bugs in South Carolina. Same thing, you can call them up here.
Are they really palmetto bugs?
Yes. Yeah, and they're a great source of protein. They're Did going you know to be that? The lobsters of the future.
They also got salmonella, and they can lay like 40 eggs at once.
Well, they gotta work out a few kinks there, okay? They gotta work out a few kinks.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. High of 75 this afternoon under sunny skies. Southeast winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Clear skies tonight. Lows around 51. Lots of sunshine outside again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 81. Dry with temperatures a bit above average Saturday and Sunday, and highs from the upper 80s to the mid-90s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 66 degrees.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Bad mistakes, I've made a few. I've had my shells and kicked in my bed, but I've come through. And I need to go on, 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 on. We are the champions.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. He is Greg Bach. And I got some pretty cool news. I guess this was over the weekend that I first got a screenshot of a picture of the news, but I was waiting until I actually got the hard copy before I did anything about it. But I don't know how many months ago, but we found out on air, that was really Wisconsin.
On air, at a supper club.
A couple months ago, that we had been nominated for Milwaukee Magazine as Best Radio Host. And I was very surprised then, even when we were nominated. And I think the other, Pete, was Earl Ingram, obviously our friend and colleague. For this was the Milwaukee area. Mark Belling, Tariq Moody. Who was the fourth person? I'm trying to think of who the fourth person was. Then me. And I, you know, I put out on social media. I was like, oh, I'm nominated for this. It'd be great. Like, vote for me. And not thinking, you know, as the very much newbie of that group, that anything would happen. But lo and behold, Milwaukee Magazine, they put out their newest edition, Simply the Best, our guide to everything that's great in Milwaukee. So the issue has a lot of editors' choices for what they think are the best restaurants and the best, you know, in the food scene and lifestyle and a bunch of different things. And then they get to your best, which is the Reader's Choice Poll. And lo and behold, radio host number one, Kristen Bry. We'll put it up for the live screen. So I went to Barnes & Noble yesterday and bought multiple copies. And so I was very surprised. And my either Midwest modesty or imposter syndrome is like, well, I don't know, like trying to make excuses of why I would have won this. Because, you know, I'm still so new at this, but I'm going to take the W, and a win is a win. And I'm going to say that I am proud of myself and proud of this show and the fact that what we've been able to do in a year. So there's that.
Guess what?
What?
I'm proud of you too.
Oh, thanks, Greg.
You do good work, my friend.
So yeah, I wish Jane was here so she could be, yeah, she could be part of it, because she's obviously been a massive part of this show. But yeah, that was very cool. And so, and then right underneath media personality, I'll give you one guess who won that.
Charlie Behrens.
Yeah. With John McGivern right behind.
You know what's funny? I was trying to think of something smart alecky, but I'm like, just it's Charlie.
And then, but do you know who Rich Evans is?
No.
Neither do I.
But when you wrote it down, when you sent me the text, you said, never mind Chris Evans. I'm like, what?
Oh.
I was like,
Rich Evans.
I know, you're sure thinking of Captain America.
So they have a little blurb about Rich Evans coming in third for media personality. And they said, we admit it, we didn't include the extremely online Milwaukee-based Red Letter Media celebrity.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know. I don't know his name, but I know Red Letter. They're very popular on
YouTube.
Are they? Oh, my gosh, yes. My friend Tim, shout out to Tim Higgins, is a great improviser, actor, and performer. Does a lot of work with them. But yeah, they are on YouTube. They do like best of, worst of,
and
reviews.
They're located in Milwaukee.
They're Wisconsin. I think they're Milwaukee based. If not, they are Wisconsin based for sure. But yeah, they are very popular.
Interesting. Yeah. Is it like Milwaukee record adjacent as far as?
No, they just kind of, they don't really do it like it, there's no, I don't feel like when I watch the video, there's like a sense of like Milwaukee or Wisconsin. It's pop culture, it's reviews, things like that, you know.
Well, yeah, they have 1.4 million, almost 1.5 million subscribers on YouTube. I did not know that this was based in Wisconsin. But yeah, so Rich Evans, who is a Milwaukee-based Red Letter Media celebrity, they didn't put him in their nominees, but they got, it was a Red Letter write-in campaign, and he got third.
Nice.
And so, but yeah, so I think it's cool because it means that people are actually listening, people are actually voting. And I don't take that lightly.
And they like you. They really like you. Yeah. Oh, Kristen Bry.
So, yeah. So if you voted, thank you. For everyone who listens both to the podcast and to the live show or watches the live stream, thank you for, you know, being a part of the show, as always. And tell your friends. We're still growing.
And as I said to you on the text message when you sent this to me, you know, I'd like to thank the audience for voting me best Wednesday co-host / sit-in producer.
Because yeah,
I feel like if this is the case, then I'm by proxy, I've won an award too.
Totally.
And I want to say thank you to everyone who voted for Kristen and then me. Whether you knew it or not.
But I think in 2 weeks, we'll have Chris Drosner back, who's the executive editor of Milwaukee Magazine. I promise he didn't cheat for me, but we'll pick his brain a little bit more on.
You just will not let this win just happen. You're just like.
Well, it's like I look at Tariq Moody, who got second, who is like unbelievably influential in the Milwaukee radio scene.
Yeah.
He's part of Radio Milwaukee. He started Hyphen, like, you know, and that's music radio. So it's maybe a little different, but he is. Very influential. Mark Belling, influential in a different kind of way.
Popular, like known, very well known. Yeah.
You know, been around for a very long time. He got third. So I think there's a part of it that's like, I feel a little bit like, what? Really? Me? Really?
But, I mean, hey, you know? Magic Johnson walked into the NBA, won a championship his first year in. So, hey, whatever. I mean, it's possible.
That's sports. Fair. Sports go sports. Hold the clip for tomorrow?
Yeah, let's hold the clip for tomorrow.
Okay,
yeah.
Because you managed to clip together a clean clip of Amy.
I found a good one. Yeah. So,
but remind people who's the laughing tap, just as we...
It's Amy Miller. 3 shows, 1 Friday, 2 Saturday, laughingtap.com for tickets. It's going to be a lot of fun. She's been on Comedy Central a bunch of times. Really cool person. We're looking forward to that, so...
Very fun. Yeah. Very fun. Were you going to say something else?
No, I'm just going to... Well, you know what? You're great.
You're great.
Oh.
You're doing a great job filling in for Jane. How are you feeling? Yeah, comfortable?
I'm feeling good. This
you
is like
the vibe? You got today, like your flow going?
Yeah, yeah. I got my screens going. I've got everything's happening here. I'm keeping the eye out for the phone, making sure people are being heard. And, you know, it's cool. It's fun. I like this. This is a really fun job.
Good. Good. I'm glad. All right. Yeah. Well, tomorrow we're going to have Pat Kreitlow from Up North News is going to be back for our crossover. And then Matt Miller is going to be here. He just got married. He went on his honeymoon.
What?
But he's here for our monthly pop culture update. I have a very interesting Am I the Sphincter for tomorrow. That is this dad banned all of his daughter's once in a lifetime events because she was caught bullying. And people are applauding his harsh punishment. But he wants to know, is he the sphincter? So we will talk about that. So full Friday. Come back tomorrow, 10 a.m. for As Goes Wisconsin once again. But thank you for being part of today's show.
With the award-winning Kristen Bryan.
And if you have voted, thank you for voting. All right. Have a great day.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us. Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.